glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Good morning and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you in real time from the Radio Sai studios in Prashanti Nilayam. Till a few moments ago, you were listening to this morning's Vedam and Bhajans that were coming to you live from the Sai Kulwant Hall. It is 9:36 a.m. Indian Standard Time on Thursday morning, February the 8th, 2018, and you're tuned to Radio Size Asia Stream. And I'm ahead of myself by 4 minutes because I'm so excited to connect with you, dear brothers and sisters. The morning Mangal Aarti has just concluded in the Sai Kulwant Hall. And Baba's devotees are right now lined up quietly for darshan of the Mahasannidhi. The ashram's atmosphere is still reverberating with the sacred energy of that Vedam and Bhajans that were sung by Bhagwan's beloved students. Prashanti Nilayam and his allied institutions quietly and silently, as always, continue to serve seekers from around the world, nurturing their physical, mental, emotional and spiritual needs. By the way, coming to more mundane affairs, traffic in downtown Puttaparthi this morning was rather busy and is getting somewhat busier inside the ashram as well because devotees are arriving in large numbers to settle in for the upcoming festivals. First, the Mahashivaratri, followed by the Chinese New Year. It happens to be today, actually, is a very beautiful morning in Prashanti Nilayam and our temperatures are very comfortable. Overnight lows of about 18 or 19 degrees Celsius and daytime highs of 32. Current temperature outside Radio Sai Studios is 24 degrees Celsius. And yesterday, Mother Nature gave us a very pleasant surprise. All of a sudden in the evening, we had this nice thunderstorm and some rains, which were much needed. Very pleasant, unexpected, not time of the year when you'd expect rains. So, among other things, my car is looking very clean this morning. And as the mercury is inching its way up, the spiritual temperature in the ashram is also on the rise. That is because of the most sacred and powerful night on the Hindu calendar is around the corner. On February 13th evening, we will begin the continuous bhajan singing and keep vigil all night. The bhajans will conclude on the morning of 14th at 6 a.m. So essentially, we begin in the late afternoon of Tuesday and conclude on Wednesday morning. After the Mangal Aarti on Wednesday morning, prasadam will be distributed and the morning session will close with that. The moon is but a sliver on Mahashivaratri. The monkey mind is easier to calm and control with the incessant chanting of the Lord's name. And what holier venue than the Sai Kulwant Hall in his immediate divine presence. Dear sisters and brothers, now is the time to pack up and immediately plan your trip to come home to the lotus feet and join us in the grand and holy celebrations of Mahashivaratri at Prashanti Nilayam. Sai Shiva awaits you and we look forward to welcoming you home soon. Today on Morning Glory, we hope to offer you a brand new episode of Tris with Divinity with the family from the United Kingdom. Surekha, Girish and Vikesh Tyler are in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti. This interview will be followed by my announcing the names of all the listeners who get this morning's question right. The question for this morning is going to make you think. So please put on your thinking hat and here comes the question. Which program of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust offers a year-long fellowship to the graduating students of the Sai University, thereby giving them an opportunity to participate in the divine mission? So please name the program of the Central Trust wherein the graduating students of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning can take up a fellowship program for 1 year. It's a paid program for 1 year that gives them an opportunity to span across the whole great nation of Bharat and participate actively in the divine mission. Your answer must be accompanied by your full name, and please remember to mention the city and the country where you are located. And please email me your replies ASAP at the following email ID, karuna@radiosai.org. K for kite, A for America, R for Russia, U for umbrella, N for Nancy, A for apple. KARUNA at radiosai is one word, RADIOSAI.org. And now please enjoy the interview that I have kept ready for you. And after the interview, I will be very happy to announce the names of all our listeners who got the answer right to my question, which is, name the program in the ashram that operates out of the ashram that actually Baba inaugurated in 2010. Now I'm giving you too many clues. And that allows the graduating students of the Sai University to attend a year-long fellowship program and participate hands-on in the Satya Sai Divine Mission. Please email me ASAP at karuna@radiosai.org. And while you're doing so, I'm happy to play for you a brand new episode of Triswi Divinity hosted by my colleague Bishu Prushti. He's in conversation with the family from the United Kingdom, Surekha, Girish and Vikesh Tyler. Have a listen, please.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan. Bhagwan has sent to the studios today a beautiful Sai couple from UK. Today is December 23rd, 2017. Everyone in Prashant Nilayam is gearing up for December 24th and 25th and 26th when all the people from different parts of the world will together sing the glory of the Lord. On December 24th, you have the adults choir. 6th, you have the children's choir. On 25th, you will have the Christmas program where the students from Bhagwan's University will be performing. And this lovely couple from UK have been coming to Prashant Nilayam every year for Christmas for the last 7 years. In fact, this is the 7th consecutive year they are here in Prashant Nilayam to celebrate this beautiful, joyous occasion at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. I'm really grateful to Bhagwan for sending to the studios today Mr. Girish Kumar Taylor, his wife, Mrs. Surekha Girish Taylor, and also their son, Vikesh. Vikesh is a sound engineer. In fact, he's done his bachelor's in sound engineering and audio production. In fact, also worked in a film studio for a little while. And he's someone who is always so enthusiastic to be part of the adults choir, because that is one occasion where he can offer his talent, offer his music to Bhagwan. And for Girish and Surekha, for them, this is the moment of the year, because this is the moment they look forward to every year, because it is an opportunity not only to sit in front of Bhagwan and pour your heart out, but also in your own little ways serve him in whatever role he gives them. So with lot of joy, with lot of interest, with lot of dedication, they are here in Prashant Nilayam, and I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that they have all come to the studios today for this beautiful conversation as we all are waiting to celebrate Christmas. So Christmas is in the air, Christmas joy is in the air, and with that delight I welcome all of you to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Sairam. Thank you so much.
So can we begin with you, Mrs. Surekha, because from whatever little I heard about your family. Swami chose you as the instrument to bring everyone in the family to His lotus feet. And in so many ways, He has touched your lives and through you the lives of everyone in your family unimaginably. So tell us, what brings you to Prashant Nilayam on every Christmas? You don't want to miss it every year, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Christmas, for us, Christmas is here in, you know, Prashant Nilayam with Swami and with the hundreds and thousands of other nationalities that are surrounded in the ashram. The reason I'm here again at Christmas is because going back years ago when I entered into my husband's family, they were a little bit reluctant to know Swami. They loved Lord Krishna, and obviously being from a big family background, moving from London, it was a bit hard for me to settle in, and I wanted to put a picture of Swami, and with a reluctantly, I only managed to put one photo of Swami, you know, and that was my comfort. We had the house decorated and the picture was put back on again, and there was a divine Swami's grace on there. There was chandan and speckles of oil inside the frame. Mm-hmm. And that really touched me, and obviously my husband was a little bit reluctant, but obviously saw that as well, and that kind of sort of changed my perspective, although I knew Swami from a very young age. And then after that, my desire was, I mean, at the age of 40, hadn't been to Prashanti, and I so wanted to come. And I guess my journey started when I had that desire to come to Puttaparthi. My husband was a little bit reluctant, mm-hmm. and he kind of said, go ahead and kind of book. And I had a financial issue as well, and we kind of got $4,000 in my bank account due to tax, because I was actually unemployed for 13 years because I kind of raised the kids on my own. And I had that strong desire to come, but my husband was a bit reluctant. Anyway, I gave him an ultimatum and said, that's it, I want to go. I've never been to India and I want to go.
And your roots are in India?
Well, my roots, I don't have any family, but my parents are from India. Mm. But I was actually raised in London. Mm-hmm. So I'd never been to India. But I had that strong desire to go and to see Swami first. I wanted to see Baba.
Because you had known Baba for very long.
A very long time.
So the eagerness to come to India was more so that you can see Swami.
Yeah.
Someone whom you have carried in your heart, but never got the chance to see
him. Never got the chance to see him. Mm. And there was that sort of reluctancy, but then I just had that strong desire. And I thought, well, that's it. I'm just going to go. The finances were there. Swami made that possible. Mm. And Vikesh was 14 and Pritesh was 16. And I said to my husband, I'm going. And he said, right, go. And, you know, I was just so, like, nervous. How am I going to do this? I'd made preliminary inquiries with the travel agent. And then the following day, my husband said, oh, have you booked the tickets? I said, no, not yet. I'm going to do them. He goes, I'm coming as well. But on one condition, that we go to Kerala for a week.
Okay.
I said, thank you, Swami. Mm. Yeah, so my journey started from there. So we came in 2006. Mm. And then that was just a three-day darshan we had with Swami. Mm. And it was amazing. He touched our hearts. And when we went from here to Kerala, I have to say it was unanimous that we kind of said, we should have stayed longer.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. Hmm. So we were blown away. And then obviously we had the opportunity in 2010. Hmm. My brother actually said, they give musicians a wonderful opportunity to play. Hmm. And Vikesh obviously played, you know, keyboard. And that was our first Christmas. Hmm. And that was our second time in Prashanti. And Sylvia coordinated the choir, and that just touched my heart. So I've never turned back and looked back since then.
Once you're part of the choir, now you want to always be part of the choir.
Yeah, because it's we're kind of, like I say, we come from many different countries, and you know, most of the brothers and sisters don't even speak English, but it's the love and the divinity that we all are surrounded by that is just so blissful, that that's what brings me back, because we're one voice and one love.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't experience this kind of love easily elsewhere.
But it's also the seva that you participate in. Mm. It's just so rewarding, fulfilling, and that's for me.
Mm. Wow. So in 2006, after waiting for 40 long years, you saw Swami for the first time. How was it?
Well, I didn't know how, like, people kind of dressed here, although people said, you know, my family had been and said, oh, you know, make sure you don't take any Western clothes. You have to wear, you know, chunidars and saris.
Yes.
And, like, for me, I brought something sleeveless, you know. I thought, and I planned that from London, saying, if I will go to see Swami, this is what I'm wearing. And luckily I'd brought a pink cardigan with me, so as I kind of went in, they stopped me and said, oh, you know,
luckily
I had my pink cardigan on, and lo and behold, I still didn't know what I was doing, but they thought I was part of this Malaysian group that all had pink on, because mine had a pink cardigan and a pink suit on. So they took me right to the front, Brother Vishnu, and I was, I thought, wow, I thought, this is quite incredible, but that was Swami.
Wow.
I know. So I was placed in this Malaysian group because they thought I was part of the group in pink. And that's when Swami came out in his car. And I just was absolutely blown away by Swami's aura, his physical appearance. And it was just so beautiful. I can still kind of picture it now. And then in the evening he gave us more darshan, and I was able to sit in the middle where his mandir was, and I could just see him being photographed. And I could see that he obviously acknowledged us, and he, you know, Swami knows it's your first time, and he gives you that special moment. And we all had it as a family individually.
Wow. And after that, perhaps you always wanted to come again, and it happened in 2010.
Yeah, it happened in 2010, absolutely.
Wonderful. So in 2006, when she wanted to come, and you were not so eager, Mr. Girish. So what happened? Suddenly you said you want to join in.
Basically, I wanted to come to India, not to Prashanti. I wanted to obviously go to a holiday, have a party. It was a beach party. That's the custom we always have in England, to go to a holiday, have always a beach party and enjoy ourselves. And coming to Prashanti, I was a bit apprehensive, if you could call it that. But I did agree to come here. And the first time, obviously, when we came here, on them 3 days, I was still apprehensive. But when we entered the Prashanti complex, I was intrigued by all the rules and regulations which were in place, i.e. women separate, men separate, which I thought was a bit not used to as an outsider.
It seemed strange.
But afterwards I was quite happy with that, because then I spoke to lots of people around, and I noticed that every person I spoke to had this a loving voice, always helpful, which you don't find outside. And I thought this is a really nice, you know, nice place, nice environment to be in. And like my wife said, the first time we went to the Kulwanthal with Vikesh, we were put at the back of the hall, and eventually it opened up for us, so we were sitting right in the front. It was like a river opening up.
Something happened.
And we were sitting right in the front. And I thought, how is this possible when people, you know. And when Swami did come out in his car, it was a car or a wheelchair?
No, it was a car.
It was a car then.
Two times.
Yeah, it was a car. As he came out, and Rikesh was in tears, waving his hands, and I was looking at Swami, and I was thinking, there is something special here. There must be something special for all these people to be here.
Mm.
And when he came out, I just saw this aura of orange. I didn't even see Swami, I just saw an orange globe.
Uh-huh.
And which I couldn't, my eyes were transfixed on him. Uh-huh. I could not take my eyes off him, even though I tried to.
Oh.
And it just gave me this overwhelming feeling of, you know, I don't know what to call it, love or a magnetism that gave me this feeling. So when we came back to the room, I told my wife, I was nearly in tears. Something came over me. And since then, that was the first time I saw Swami. I thought, I have seen God now. I really have seen God. That was my feeling the first time I saw him.
Wow.
And that built more confidence in me and thought, only 3 days. I wish I was here longer. See him more. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. You were someone who believed in God, who believed in...
Yeah, we always believed in... My mom, my dad always believed in Krishna. Mm. They had a temple in the room.
Yeah,
and I always used to do Diwa and everything.
Yeah.
And prayed to...
Yeah.
But obviously, I've never... To Krishna, I've never seen him seen, you know, like in person.
Like in person.
Yeah.
So but someone saying... he's God and he's there. In
he's living, a living God, which is a great opportunity for anybody to, to come and see.
Hmm. But initially, that's how you were apprehensive.
Yes. Hmm. And now, from then to now, if you ask me, you know, I would agree with everything, and the rules and regulations are like on the back of my hand. I know everything now.
Yeah, now this has become your home.
Every Christmas is our home. Yeah, every Christmas.
Wow, amazing. Amazing is his timing. And I think, you know, every soul has its journey, and he knows when he should enter and how he should enter at the right time, so that perhaps that was the best time.
Yes, correct.
Maybe she would have wished that you would have known him much before, but probably that was that precise moment when perhaps that sea change can happen in your perspective.
Uh-huh.
After that, it has been so dramatic, right? After that, life has changed completely for you and for the entire family, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
Brother Bishu, I forgot to say that there was a really crucial part in our lives, or I would say my life, that actually I had a kind of a hallucination of Swami. I was going through a really, you know, tough time in my life at one point, and Swami actually appeared on TV, and I'd never been to Prashanti Nilayam, and I saw Swami in a burgundy robe with his hands like that,
raised,
yeah. And I saw the Ganesh, you know, when you had the Ganesh gate, not the Ganesh, the actual Ganesh on the sands.
Oh, yeah, in those
days. Yeah, in those days. So I actually had that
circle, and the Ganesha statue in front of
that. Yeah, so I actually had that hallucination. Mm-hmm. So it was already, you know, embedded and had that dream, so to say, beforehand, before we even entered the ashram years ago.
You had seen this.
Yes, I'd seen this and thought nothing of it. And when I sort of said to the family, oh, is this a documentary about Swami? They kind of all looked at me and kind of said, oh, is she insane, you know?
Because you suddenly, everyone is seeing the normal TV programs, but you are seeing something on Swami.
Yeah, it was actually football. It was like some football or rugby match. But I was at the lowest point in my life at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
amazing. So that was something very, very life-defining in a way, right?
Definitely.
I mean, at the lowest point
in my life.
And you really are looking for him to hold you, to give you that strength and let you know that he's there, and he did it. I mean, who is our best friend who is there with us in the lowest of the low moments, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Again, he knows when he should make his presence felt in our life in the most powerful manner.
Yeah.
So that one, it strengthens us, and second, it changes us, isn't it? It transforms us.
That's true.
Yeah.
It does transform you, because you feel that your life is not in your hands anymore.
Yes.
It's Swami's hands.
Yes.
And you seem to just follow that route. Yes. The road is chosen for you.
Yes. He's already decided. When you mention about God's hands, I just remembered someone saying that they say that when you leave everything in God's hand, you begin to see God's hand in everything.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think that's what happened, isn't it? Once Swami entered your life, slowly you started putting everything in God's hands, you know?
That's right.
Everything that happened in life, you left it in His hands. And then after that began the saga of seeing how His hand is there in everything that is happening now in your life.
That's right.
After that transformative experience. So how was it for you, Vikesh? I think by the time you were a little one, parents are already into Swami, right?
Yeah.
So you grew up worshipping Swami, grew up loving Him, adoring Him?
Of course. Well, Mom raised us at home and we were told that Swami was God. So I didn't question Mom. Because I believe everything Mom says, as an innocent child.
Yes, yeah.
So, I was, as a child, I had quite a few experiences with Swami, which I thought was normal, you know. But I didn't speak of any of these experiences until a few years later. And in these experiences, Swami would show Himself in His physical form in the house, you know, as I was a child. And one experience was when I was coming back from nursery, I would usually go for a nap, you know, and I was a naughty child back then. And as I was sleeping, I woke up and I had a teddy bear at the time and I set light to him.
Oh my God.
Set light to the teddy bear. It was on fire.
Oh my God.
And the flame actually went out by itself. And I was 4 years old at this time, 4 or 5 years old, and I look back behind me, and the door opens, and I kid you not, Swami came into the room in his orange robe, and he smiles, and he points to the bed, saying, "I think you know," instructing to go back to bed and stop messing around, you know. So I thought these experiences were normal. I thought, hey, this is normal.
So you actually saw Swami physically?
Yeah, I literally saw Swami physically in the room. But again, I just thought it was a normal thing. So I just went to bed, you know. You know, it was steady faith. I always had faith in Swami, you know. And leading up to the Christmas choir back in 2010, It was the absolute perfect timing. That timing couldn't have been any better, you know, because that was Swami's last physical Christmas with us.
Yes.
But it was amazing timing.
So what memories you have of that Christmas 2010?
The first Christmas was intense. It was difficult for start because I wasn't really used to playing in a choir. I had never played in a choir before. This was my first time playing in any kind of band where there was multiple instruments and choir members. It was great. I instantly bonded with everyone. It was a family. Getting to play with other instruments, you know, experimenting, you know, putting my creativity in. It was just the best feeling ever. But it also had its downfalls as well, because at the time, I was suffering from intense nosebleeds at the time. So I wasn't able to always give my best, because in each practice, I would bleed, you know, because of the intense heat.
Oh, okay.
And I had suffered from nosebleeds since a child anyway. So it wasn't new to me. I just, you know,
but
just happened.
This got aggravated because of the heat here.
Definitely, yeah. And it interrupted a lot of the practices, you know, to the point where I was hospitalized.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What happened was, in the middle of the night, I started to bleed at 4 o'clock in the morning. And my dad, he woke up and he woke my mom up, and I was in the toilet and my dad was holding the tissue to my nose. And because he was shocked to see so much blood, he fainted.
Oh my God.
And he collapsed on the floor and he hit his head on the concrete slab
Oh my God.
It made such a loud noise that the whole block heard, the whole block that we were staying on, North Point in the sea, on the sea block.
Mm-hmm.
And he was unconscious. His eyes went up, his pupils went up. And I was thinking, what is going on, you know? So I was trying to shake his head, saying, wake up. But he wasn't responding.
So you were trying to do this even as your nose is bleeding?
Yeah, so the blood was dripping on my dad's face, you know? And, and if you were to see from outside view, it had looked like as if I was in a fight with my dad, you know? That's what a seven-year-old thought anyway when he came running upstairs. So we were screaming. We went out screaming, saying, Sarah, Sarah, someone help. Somebody help. And the next thing you know, this of calling people, you know, it was literally just 20 seconds. I look right and my dad comes walking out of the room just as if nothing has happened.
Oh.
Like a dumbfounded look, like, what are you shouting about? Like, you know,
came back to consciousness.
Yeah, like what's the big fuss about? You know, we were just shocked, thinking, what's going on? At this time, I know it was still bleeding, but I was thinking, you know, how are you awake? You know, at one point you fainted and
we thought
something was seriously wrong. Several I'll call an ambulance and we were rushed to hospital, and the doctor, you know, checked my dad out. They gave my dad the clear. He was fine. It was nothing, no damage to his head, you know, which is a miracle because, everybody in the block came into the room to see
a huge thud.
Yeah. To see what was going on, you know, and luckily everybody, most of them were doctors. They came from a medical background. So they definitely, you know, advised to go to the hospital. The doctor said that there's nothing wrong with my dad. He was fine. All the doctor did was diagnose him with vivity. Let's get vivity, you know. And with me, the doctor, she cauterized my nose so the bleeding would never happen again. But if I just pause there and say, before we came in that year in 2010, on my birthday, on June the 28th, on my 18th birthday, where I should be having a good time, spending time with my family, with my friends, my nose was bleeding again, you know, but it bled for the entire day. Bled for the entire day, and I was actually in intensive care.
Oh my God.
Because the doctor, she thought I had cancer.
My God.
Because it bled so much. And they strongly recommended to cauterize it there. But because I feared that cauterizing, you know, it's acid which goes into the nose and burns all the blood vessels. And I didn't want to experience that, you know. Something in me just said, no, just don't go. Just don't get it done. So I said to the doctor, no, I don't want that. I don't want you to perform this. I didn't know that we were going to go to Puttaparthi that year anyway. You know, I had no idea. So now fast forward back to the hospital in Puttaparthi, the doctor said, we're going to cauterize your nose. I said, by all means, do it. Do it. At this time, Swami was out giving darshan at the time as well, because he was giving
arati.
It was the arati. I said, let's do it, and she was cauterized my nose and tears were going down my eyes because it hurt so, it burned so much. You know, but it that was a quite an intensive experience. You know, but I knew everything was going to be all right. And after that, you know, the practices went perfect, everything was going fine. It was actually my dream to perform to Swami. In that year, 2010, it was my dream to perform, and because the devotion was it magnified tenfold in that year. Anyway, 2010, I would say 2010 was the year where I really was actually conscious that Swami, you know, I really want to work for you. You know, I want to do everything I can to make you happy, because up till then, you know, I wasn't that much. I wasn't involved in the sci-fold, you know. We were just at home. I didn't go to Bhavika's class or anything. But in the year 2010, I was going through a lot of hard times, very personal things, you know. And I needed these are things which no one could help me with, not even my own parents, you know. And I needed someone to help me, and that's when I instantly drew to Swami. I said, maybe Swami can help me with this, and what happened was I was reading Sai Smaran. It was just in the shrine room, this book by Dr. Gaudiya, and that book transformed me completely. From having dreams when I was four or five years old, having no dreams by the age of 16. As soon as I read that book, I started to think, wow, this is Swami. This is, he's living in India. He's right there, and I'm reading all these amazing experiences that people are having with him. And at this point, I wasn't doubting the book because I knew. So my mama told me Swami's God, so I knew this is real. Not a single shred of doubt. Reading a book. Thinking, I need to see Swami. I want to be with Swami. I need this. I need to see Swami. I need to play. You know, I had played in no choirs before. And I had always thought to give back what Swami's given me. Or even better, work for Swami with the gift he's given me, come to Puttaparthi and help in the Christmas choir. That's the best way I can serve. That's the best way I can give back, you know. And that's how it happened. So 2010 for me was so important, because the lead up of that intense devotion for a whole year and then finally seeing Swami, I can never tell you in words how powerful it was to first see him and play in front of him. It was amazing.
The soul felt complete. The body was
exactly
also healed.
Exactly. The soul felt complete. Definitely felt complete. He was satisfied. They wanted more.
Wow. How was it for you going through all these? And on one hand, Vikesh is down, and then Girish also suddenly fainted. I don't know what was going through you that night.
I actually thought my world had ended because I was just so frantically scared. And as soon as Girish fell to the ground, and for me to witness him, you know, his eyes rolled and he was... It was as if he was having an epileptic fit. And it was just so uncontrollable. And I've never, and of course it was the middle of the night, you know, and you're in your kind of nightwear. And the only thing that came to my head was, Sairam, Sairam. I was just screaming. Vikesh and I were just screaming. But Vikesh actually held my husband's head and said, Dad, wake up. And he was bleeding, you know. So Girish was covered in blood. Vikesh was covered in blood. And when we sort of ran out, there were two Sevadals on patrol, and they could see two people, you know, through the along the corridor. So they kind of rushed up, and because I don't speak Hindi, they actually thought that Girish and Vikesh got into a fight because of me. So there was so much confusion.
Oh.
I know. And it was such a scary moment for me, but all I thought of was Baba, you know, Sairam, Sairam. And the next thing I know, like, Girish comes out scratching his head and said, what's all the shouting about? What's going on? And he was totally oblivious to what had happened because he didn't have a clue. And that's when all the, obviously, doctors came rushing in and checked his blood pressure. But I have to say that was the scariest moment in my life. And I thought, you know, it just ended there. But it kind of hadn't, because our journey began from there.
Another very, very trying moment in your life, right? And you know that he was there to lift you up.
Absolutely, because then when, you know, at our last darshan, when everything was fine, and like the doctor, when Girish went to see the doctor the following day, he went to a neurological doctor. He was lovely, Dr. Kumar. And said, it carried out all these various tests and then confirmed to Girish that this is actually what happened, you know, how you described what happened to you, your systems were shutting down, and it was Swami that, you know, lifted you and just gave him some vibhuti. That evening at Darshan, I kind of questioned Swami and I said, look, you know, did you give Girish another life? Did you save him? He actually, you know, that one-to-one connection, Swami actually got his hand and scratched the back of his head and tilted his head.
Oh.
And that was just so touching for me. And I just cried profusely, because I know what should have happened but didn't happen. And it was Swami's hand and grace over my husband.
So Swami sort of acknowledged that thought.
Absolutely.
That he
just turned his head, and where Girish had hit his head, that's exactly where he
put his hand.
Scratched his head. Wow. And that was just a
It was as clear as it can be.
Absolutely.
And you're sitting meters away from him, and in your mind you're trying to ask this
question. And the ladies around me were consoling me, saying, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" But they were just tears of joy for me.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, when you think about Bhagavan, you know, every gesture has so much meaning, isn't it?
It does.
You know, for you, that gesture of him putting his hand in his hair meant the whole world. And for someone else, they will think that it is just a casual gesture of Swami, you know. Maybe there is something there, Swami just maybe playing with his hair or setting his hair. And that is the avatar, right? Everything he does. Everywhere his eyes fall, everywhere, even if his hand moves, you don't know what is happening, in which dimension, how he's communicating, and what transformation is happening because of that. Wow.
Yeah, so I feel so indebted to Swami, absolutely indebted to him.
And when you think about it now, it is so gracious of him that he allowed all of you to come as a family in 2010, and that was the last Christmas, and you were able to be there with him, and Vikesh has such beautiful moments, and that is something that perhaps will keep coming back to you on every Christmas, right? Every time we come to Prashanthi, that memory keeps coming back, isn't it?
For sure. The memory which keeps coming back for me for 2010 was when we were playing with Swami, and I know that in the past Christmases, Swami doesn't come down at the end of the service to take a picture with everybody for Christmas. But this time he did. And let me tell you something, I just wanted to grab his hands. Because the thing is, he blessed my hands, you know, to play music and, you know, to make people feel good. So I see many people taking Pad Namaskar from Swami, but for me, my Pad Namaskar was touching his hands. And I just wanted, even if just a little touch, I'll be grabbed, or even just grab his hand, you know, I just wanted to do that. But I was thinking while performing, how do I get to Swami? Because he's not going to come down. He never comes down. He probably won't call me. So when he came down, I just leaped over a few guitars. I think I stepped on the one actually. And I just, not aggressively, but I kind of just shoved people out of the way because I really wanted this moment, you know. And I glanced over and I went straight for his hand, and my hand connected with his. But he looked like this, but by the time he looked at me, I'd closed my eyes and I would felt this electric shock just surge right through me. It was amazing. I can still feel it now, you know, just by thinking about it. 6 years later, when I saw the video, that is when I found out Swami looked right into my eyes like this. And I saw the video straight in, but I closed my eyes like this, just enjoying myself, you know. That was the most important moment, touching him, you know. And then next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
The soul connecting with the oversoul.
Exactly.
Wow.
Bliss.
That's amazing. Wow. So every time you come back and sit in Sai Kulwant Hall, be it Christmas or any time of the year, I think that connect keeps coming back, right?
Always keeps coming. It always does. When I perform, when we all perform, just picture Swami just standing there, sitting down, just as he usually does. He is anyway, but I really focus hard. I just don't forget. I never forget that he is there. He's there, sitting there, enjoying himself. You know,
so it doesn't matter if he's physically not there.
It definitely doesn't. To me, it doesn't. But at first, you know, in 2011, I will admit that it was quite difficult for all of us, I think, you know, because we were so used to seeing Swami in his physical form coming down, blessing us, you know. And for Swami not to, you know, physically not to be there, it was kind of heartbreaking at first. You know, it was quite sad. But then as we kept coming back, I realized Swami is actually here, you know, because of dreams that I've had to confirm his presence. He is there.
Maybe you can share one or two.
Okay, for sure. Well, the first dream after the 2010 Christmas in February, I was happy. I was so content that, yes, you know, it's happened. I can't wait to come back next year to play if Swami calls me again. And the only thing I was actually a little bit upset about whilst performing to Swami was my mic was taken away from me. Uh-huh. So me being me, I was young back then, I was thinking, oh, Swami physically, he can't hear me anymore. Mm. Obviously he can hear everything. Even if the keyboard's turned off, he could still hear you play. You know, so I was upset about that. Sometime in February of 2011, Swami came into my dream, and it was just me and Swami in the Cycle One Hall. Mm-hmm. And I was just like walking around him, and he looked at me like this, you know, like he's raised his eyes at me, mm-hmm. and is smiling. Mm-hmm. And then I said, Swami, I asked him, Swami, could you hear me in 2010? Could you hear me play? And he goes, yes, yes, Swami can always hear. And then I said, Swami, you go, what about the cable? What about the microphone? He goes, next year, I will plug you in. Don't worry. Swami will give you a, Swami will plug you in next year. So he already confirmed that we were going to come back in 2011. Mm. So that's how, and obviously he was fully aware of his physical exit. He knew. He was in control of everything. So if he knew he was going to leave his physical body, and he said, next year, I'll plug you in. That's already confirmation. I don't need any more experience. That was his confirmation saying he is there and he's going to plug me in. Mm. Come 2011, I didn't even remember the dream. You know, I just was so focused on giving Swami my best that someone came and just said, here's your cable. You can plug this straight in. You know, and I was so happy. It was only then when you plugged the cable in. Like, yeah, the dream. I remember now. Yeah, the dream. It was great. It was amazing. Just one more experience I'll share.
Please.
It was again before Swami left. Mm-hmm. It was actually in, I think, the end of February or March time of 2011. This was a very profound, for me, this was a very profound dream. It was actually before I started my graduate studies at university. I was struggling what to do. Maybe I should go into IT or maybe I should pursue the heart and go into music. I didn't know what to do. Mm. So parents, luckily, they advise me to just think what you need to do. Take a gap year. Take as much time as you need. They're so kind. They didn't rush me or anything. So they gave me time and I was thinking, what should I do? What should I do? And I just didn't know what to do. Swami came in my dream. It was a double dream that happened. The first dream was I was upstairs. And upstairs, we have a massive picture of Shirdi Baba. Huge, huge picture. Mm-hmm. And then on the left side is the wall. And I was walking in the dream and I looked at Shirdi Baba in his eyes. And on the wall was a transcription that was happening in real time. Mm-hmm. And Swami said, do whatever your heart says. Swami will guide you in whatever career you choose. I will always be there for you. That's what, it was a live, it was literally right, like being sculpted into the wall. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, okay, This is because I really wanted to do engineering. This was my heart, and I didn't know what to do. I wanted to be financially secure. I was thinking too much ahead. Mm. I woke up, went back to sleep, and then another dream happened just in the space of 15 minutes. This dream was me sitting in Cycle One Hall right at the front, my dad on my right hand side, and my granddad, funny enough, my dad's dad on my left hand side, all in white. Swami was sitting there. Samadhi was also there as well, which was in the dream. I was thinking, what is this doing here? I was questioning, what is this? And Swami looked at me. He looked at my granddad. He looked at me, and he was giving sweets because we were at the front of the whole row of people, so he was blessing with sweets. And as Swami moved to the left, I saw the Samadhi there, and it was, funny enough, it looked exactly the same as a Samadhi that's built now. Mm-hmm. You know, but I was confused, thinking, what is this? You know, Swami's blessed me with this message now, this has happened. And when I woke up, you know, I told my mom, I woke them up in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I was, you know, pulling, mom, I had a dream. And Swami told me what to do for my career. Mm. That, on that day, I just straight away applied for engineering. You know, and I got into the university, so I studied there. Mm. But following that year, when we came, Swami had, obviously, when we found out the news that Swami has left his form, I was really sad, you know. And when the Samadhi was eventually built and the curtains unrailed, I looked at the Samadhi, thinking, no way, this is the exact Samadhi that was materialized in the dream. You know, so for me, those two, just those two experiences for me was just unquestionable. He is there for sure. He knew everything which was going on.
Wow. I mean, it's so significant because in the dream you saw the samadhi and you saw Swami also.
Exactly.
So he's there.
He's there.
I mean, he was telling you as clearly as it can be that even though my samadhi is there, he was there distributing sweets. So he's doing that even now. The samadhi is there, but he's all the time distributing joy.
Yeah.
Now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. So slowly, how did your life change after that, Mr. Girish? Because after that, you know, as you are saying, that your whole perspective to life changed.
Yes, the way of thinking changed, the way of acting changed, and the way of approaching life changed. I think it was like a transformation, but I don't know how to describe it.
Mm. As well. So what was Mr. Girish before and what?
Should we reveal in that hot tempered?
Later.
I was like a normal person outside, you know, also, I wasn't that devotional, if you can say. I did believe in God, as in Krishna, but not that devotional and not participating in any functions or going to temples or things like that. But after that first experience with Swami, I started, Vikash was playing piano and I used to drop him off at the Sai Center where he was playing music. And I think there was one Sunday where he didn't have a lift to go to Bhajans. And I said, I'll drop you off and I'll come as well. I think your brother-in-law was there as well, wasn't it?
Well, my brothers had arrived.
Yeah, okay. So I took them all to the Sai Center, and that was the first time I actually stepped into the Sai Center in Leicester, where we live. And I sat down, and after the prayers, the bhajan started, and I saw Vikash was playing, and the bhajan sort of, my eyes were closed, it sort of uplifted me in a way that no other music did, you know, Western music or any other music. When I came out of the bhajans, I just felt just a relaxation and some sort of aura around that music that made me feel relaxed and energized at the same time. So when I went back home, my wife was saying, "Oh, are you going to sleep now?" I said, "No." I said, "I don't want to go to sleep. I feel more energized now." So we have a little PC in our dining room. So I started getting all the bhajans from the internet. And I think I played nearly all afternoon bhajans till the evening. And I was still, you know, I still feel fine. I feel fresh. And so since from then, I started going to the Sai Center and also participating in their activities. I sort of help the homeless and do seva for them when I can. And that's more changing for me than what I was before, I would say. And obviously coming here and doing all the seva, I started doing seva in the Western canteen, found that rewarding. And originally I came as wanted to sing.
Really?
Yeah, I did. But my wife said, "Come and sit." But I found that sort of overwhelming, so I just got up and I said, "I'm not doing this." And this seva dal said, "Why do you become a seva dal for the choir?" I said, "Okay, I'll do that. I'm more hands-on, so I'll do that." And from then on, I've continued doing that for the last 7 years. And I would say seva dal is really rewarding. You get opportunities what other people don't get. As if you can walk into the Kulvant Hall, go right to the Samadhi, and also our decoration team will help them out, and also been to Swami's house, which is good opportunity. I think Swami's giving me this opportunity. And coming back to the injury or what I had, I think when I was unconscious and they were shouting, "Oh, please help, please help, please help." And while I was, I think it was Swami who came and helped me. He sort of woke me up with a sudden jolt sort of thing. I felt like there was a electric sort of lift. Something lift.
Brought you back.
Yeah, brought me back, and I thought. And what was amazing was, you know, obviously, I used to play football and all sorts of sports, and any injury to your body always causes bruising or especially head injuries causes some sort of pain. But I had no pain at all, which was amazing. I thought, this is the work of God. It has to be. Can't be anything else. So from then, obviously, I changed as a person, and also outlook on life has changed for me.
Wow. He's made the life as pain-free as it can be slowly.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
I think it has definitely made a huge difference for you, isn't it, Mrs. Surekha? I mean, as a mother, as a wife, now that everyone is in Swami's fold.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, as the children were growing up, you know, I left my work to raise the children because I wanted to instill culture, you know, family values. And, you know, something was holding me back. The kids didn't go to Bhavika classes because I had no direction, you know. And I have to say that slowly things changed for us. And now, you know, we do things as a family. So that, and like for me, I didn't want to be sort of just, you know, like go with the kids, you know, on my own. But Swami made that possible for us to participate everything as a family. And that is the greatest gift because that's transformation. But obviously it took 32 years, but we got there in the end.
And still more to come, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, as they say, you know, a beautiful family is one where each one lives for the other and all live for God.
True. Absolutely.
Nice quote.
Yeah. That's a really nice quote.
And, That's what a home is. A home is a place where each one lives for the other and all live for God.
Yeah.
Sure.
When people say to us, you know, why do you go to Prashantinilam? You can go on a cruise for that kind of money.
And then why do you go every year? Okay, 1 year or once a year. Even 2 years.
That's what my father-in-law kept, like, you know, saying, why do you go there? What is there? What is there? But until you experience Prashantinilam, you will never experience, until you experience one Christmas here, and like for me, the choir is the sadhana camp, because it's a learning process, it's discipline, it's getting on with the brothers and sisters, and learning off each other, you know, and it's so wonderful, I never want it to end, but it does.
your heart automatically expands so much, isn't it? When you're in Prashanti,
it expands, but it's all the love.
Yes.
It's all the love that one, because we all have one mission and to accomplish, and that is to connect with Swami.
You know, I've had the experience of spending many years over here for Christmas, but then I've also had experience of spending Christmas at home, know, whilst my parents are in the ashram. This was the case last year when my work wouldn't give me any time off. And I was heartbroken. I couldn't come to. I broke the streak. You know. So this is my sixth time with my parents. You know, and it felt empty. You know, although I love my family, I love spending time with them. But for me, not spending time here, not being part of the Christmas choir, it was heartbreaking. You know, and it made me even more determined to come next year. And I prayed even more to Swami, because it's nothing. It doesn't matter how much I want to come. If Swami wants you to be there, then he will make it happen. And it was a case last year. It just wasn't possible, you know. But it was definitely a great experience, you know, spending it here again. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's beautiful.
Wow.
And people do say to me as well, why do you go every year? You know, why do you go to, like before I used to go, holidays before I go, why do you go, you know, come with us for this holiday in some Dubai or wherever? And I said, well, I'm trying to get away from this environment, and I'm going to detox myself from you. This is the word I give them. Which a detox means I'm spending time, you know, as in holy place, which is a good a place as any to spend a holiday.
Yes,
I call this a holiday, and you know, divine holiday. If you can put it that
you
way.
Make the holy holidays, as Swami used to say. If you convert all your holidays into holy days.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Wow. You know, when Vikesh was mentioning about how desperate he was to come last year and it didn't happen, I was just reminded, recently I was speaking to one Sri Lankan youth, one young adult from Sri Lanka, and he was saying how last year he wanted to come and, you know, he got the tickets done. And he just casually mentioned to one Sai sister that, you know what, going to Puttaparthi is so easy, just happening, you know. He said that, and he says, those set of words I will regret for my entire life. Because after that, you know, his visa and all the other papers which are supposed to come in a normal course of time, which would have just come the next day, they just didn't happen. And till the last minute, you know, his papers didn't happen, and suddenly he was like desperate. Swami, please,
for real,
do something. And you know, it's a long story, but the way it happened was very dramatic. And finally, someone calls, and the visa office is already closed at 5:30, and this opens specially for him. And you know, he just barely manages to set his foot on the plane. But he said, "Never again I will say this. This happened so easily." He said, "Unless he wills it, unless he wants it, unless he gives us that opportunity, it cannot happen, how much ever you may want it."
Yeah.
And how much ever you may think that it can just happen, his will is so much at play. And I think to be able to come to Prashanthi Nilayam all the way from UK for the 7th consecutive year, I think it's a huge blessing that Swami has conferred.
Nice.
Yeah.
And many times, of course, now we know how precious this blessing is. And I think that's why Swami says that we should always live our life. We should not take anything for granted. Take everything with gratitude.
Absolutely. Yeah. Live each day as if it's your last. Doesn't he say something like along those lines? Yeah.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Yeah. I think it's so moving when you see. And every story is like that, isn't it?
It is.
Just like yours. Yeah. I mean, when you look at the lives of all these people, for example, who are in the choir, I think each one has a
similar story.
Story which is each is different, but each is very moving. Like this. Each one is very moving, and how he has touched all our lives. Fantastic. Did you think that you will actually be speaking on Radio Sai this time when you came?
No, I definitely did not think.
And you didn't want to also.
It didn't even cross my mind.
I had no reservation of speaking at all to anybody. I'm a really quiet person.
It's a miracle he's sitting here. He's a miracle right now. It's a miracle.
Swami has made me do this.
Yeah. Definitely real.
He can turn anything around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite a miracle, right?
It's a huge miracle. That's great. It's great.
Wow, I think maybe Swami wanted this miracle to happen because maybe someone, when they hear to this, maybe some other miracle will happen in their lives. We never know. He's all the time busy doing some miracle or the other in someone's life. Wonderful. Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming to the studio. Is there anything that you want to say more before we wind up? What is it that you're taking back with you now, back to UK? I know you're eagerly waiting now for the Christmas celebration to happen, but you've been here for so many days, and now it's been, heart is already full of so many moments, right?
Well, for me, I take this bubble of love, the divinity that I've absorbed, you know, the last sort of 3 weeks. I like to take that back to UK and just, you know, absorb other people within it. But just to say, come and experience Christmas to the viewers, and your Christmas will never be the same. And live in love and light.
Yes.
All the time.
Live in love and light.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. Vikesh, you are a sound engineer.
Sure.
And being so beautifully, I mean, music is one very beautiful way to connect with the Lord.
It's powerful.
Powerful, yes.
Because it makes other people connect as well.
Yes, yes.
You know, and had I not done the degree, I wouldn't have been able to do some of the side projects, you know, that I was tasked to do. So I'm grateful. I will take away as much grace as possible. I just, all I want is grace, you know, and if I can take that back with me and try to contain it, you know, and just keep as much of it as possible, and also do as much service as possible and serve, and continue with the music, because I know that's what Swami wants me to do, you know. I'll continue to do that, you know, and get better and better at it, and come back if he wants
maybe,
me to.
Maybe produce something for Radio Sai someday.
That would be, you know, that would be an honor. That would be an absolute honor. Anytime you want my help, you know where I am.
Wonderful.
Anytime.
Yes. And Mr. Girish.
I take back lots of things, really. The main thing I take back is the love and the compassion what people show. And I try to express that when I leave. It's not very, obviously not very practical to do that to everybody. But obviously if somebody wants to know the story, I will tell them and share. Share with them what has happened to us, as a family. And some people do listen, some people don't. That's the way it is. And but gradually, I think people are, they want to know more. And through Wickish's music, that's our central point in our house, Wickish's music. Because he's got a studio upstairs in his bedroom, and people always ringing him, and I can always hear music from his room.
Wow.
Night and day. that's the main thing I take back. And also we like to thank Radio Sai for your services, because on my phone is Radio Sai station is always on. In the morning, in the evening,
even when he's sleeping. I have to go and switch it off because I won't get to sleep.
It wakes me up, puts me to sleep, and always listen to your colleagues on interviews like this, and other topics.
Wow.
I find that very rewarding, and thank you very much for your services. It sort of connects us to Prashanti all the way through the year.
Yeah, throughout the year.
They connect the whole world together.
Yeah, you guys do an amazing job, and you know, Swami says you must always show gratitude, and we humbly show our gratitude that you know, obviously are helping in everybody's spiritual journey in life.
Well, Swami knows what to do, how to use each one of us. I mean, as they say, we have to only ensure our availability to the Lord. Then He will give us the ability. And it's really wonderful that, you know, you are listening to Radio Sai, and today others are listening to you on Radio Sai.
Which I know.
We thought would never happen.
Well, Swami has a plan for everything.
I know.
Yeah,
thank you very much for your time today.
Well, it's all His grace. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sai
Ram.
Thank you
very much. Sai Ram. It's an honor.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory. We are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, on this 8th day of February 2018. The exact time in the ashram right now is 43 minutes past 10 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. You just heard an episode of Trist with Divinity with a family from the United Kingdom, the Taylor family, and the guests under the spotlight today were Surekha, Girish and Vikesh Taylor, and they were in conversation with Mr. Bishu Prushti of Radio Sai. We look forward to your feedback to this interview. As always, you can send us your emails at listener@radiosai.org. And now is my happy moment to share with you some of the responses that we have received to this morning's question on Morning Glory. The question was, which is the program of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust that allows the graduating students of the Satya Sai University to take up a year-long fellowship and serve the divine mission? Who provides that opportunity? First, I'm going to read an answer from Bhavnagar, Gujarat, from Sri Pratap Bhai Makodia, who said the convocation program by the Central Trust. Sorry, Pratap Bhai, not exactly, but a nice guess. And then there's an answer from Rahul Patel in Johannesburg who said, Saira Masi, I think it's the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization. Rahul, nice try, but sorry, not the right answer. So the correct answer is, and I'm going to read it to you, the one program of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust that offers a year-long fellowship to the graduating students of the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and offers them the opportunity of a paid fellowship to serve the divine mission hands-on across India is the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program. And the following people got, our listeners got the answer right. Shashita S. Shettigar from Mumbai, Maharashtra. Thank you, Shashita, for participating. And yes, it is the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program. Sister Geeta Sundar from Madurai in Tamil Nadu. You're right, Geeta. Sai Geeta Adala from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. Congratulations to you, Sai Geeta. Brother Rohit Narendra Kumar from Bangalore, Karnataka. Yes, Rohit, thank you. And I hope you are already a volunteer. If not, you're welcome to join now. Sister Shankari Subhash from Dubai. Good job, Shankari. Yes, indeed, it is the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program, as you answered. Brother Ajay Rajan from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. Long time no see you on Morning Glory, Brother Ajay. Nice to hear from you, and your answer is right. Sri Subhash Lakshmi Narayanan from Dubai, who also said Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini. Yes, Brother Subhash, you are right. And finally, there is an email note from Brother Ravi Ranganathan from Singapore, who said, yes, it is the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini Fellowship Program, which was launched on 23rd of November 2010 by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba to meet the growing demand of making holistic education accessible for all. And he said, yes, I'm packing my bags and leaving Singapore to participate in Shivratri at Prashanthi Nilayam. Welcome home, Brother Ravi. And with this, dear sisters and brothers, may I just take the opportunity to remind you that while the graduating students of the Sai University can participate in the fellowship program of the Vidya Vahini, Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini, all of us are free to participate as volunteers. Now, if you wish to volunteer in this program, here's what you do. You go to the Google Play Store. And you can download an app, it is for Android phones actually only, that helps you to register online for onboarding as a volunteer. And depending on your skill set and your availability, in course of time, it's a two-step process, you will be contacted by coordinators of the Vidya Vahini program who will allocate you to a team where your skill set and your time availability fits, and you can participate in this program. So I urge all our listeners and everybody who answered today, whether your answer was right or not, doesn't matter. We need people all over India, all over the world to help us, people who are educators, who are into training, technical people, illustrators, multimedia persons, language reviewers, social studies, math and science teachers, middle school. Anyone who can contribute to the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program, please check out the portal and then download the volunteer onboarding app available, a free app available on the Google Play Store, and please sign up and we will be in touch with you. With that, dear listeners, I come to the close of this program, this segment of Morning Glory, and I urge you to send us your feedback to this particular program as well as all offerings by Radio Sai. Our email ID remains listener@radiosai.org. And as I leave you, I'm going to play some of those favorite music pieces sung by some of my favorite singers, Brother Anirudh, Brother Ravi and others that were used in the higher secondary school's drama, which I really, really liked. So I hope you like the music too. And till we meet next Thursday, I wish you a fantastic Holi Maha Shivratri. Take care, be well and keep smiling. Life is for the living. Jai Sai Ram.
Rom Rom mein basne wale Ram. Rom Rom mein basne wale Ram Ram Jai Raja Rama Ram Ram Jai Sita Rama
हे गिरिधर गोपाल करुणा सिंधु कपाल भक्तवत्सल सब के संबल मुकुले दीन के बंधु निर्बल के बल दीन के बंधु बचन सुन के बैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हरि मैं दर्शन से सुख बिन दर्शन दुख प्रभु मेरो मन वापावे तुम देखे मेरो सूरज उगे तुम बिछड़े छुप जावे गोपाल अपने पतित को बैगी उबारो नाम रटो दिन रैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हे गिरिधर गोपाल श्यामा दीन दयाल भक्तवत्सल सबके संबल मुकुले संभाल गोपाल 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 Bye.
Shri Ram, Shri Ram, Shri Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Shri Ram ji ki mahima apar Ram ji ki mahima apar Shri Ram ji ki mahima apar Ram ji ki mahima apar महिमा अपार राम जी की महिमा अपार नीरजन नामुकार विंदा श्यामल छवि अति सुंदर राम करुणा स्वरूप निर्मल स्वभाव
श्री राम
करुणा स्वरूप निर्मल स्वभाव भक्तों के प्राण गुणशीलवान रवि कुल मंडन दशरथ नंदन मुनि जन रंजन नयन अभिराम श्री राम राम श्री राम जिनकी कृपा से पाथर भी तारे एक ही बाण से दुष्ट संहारे चरणों की धूल से पापी उतारे ये शुभ दिन उन्हीं का मना लो आज ये शुभ दिन उन्हीं का मना लो आज मुबारक हो सबको श्री राम जी के साथ रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम
जय जय श्री राम 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 जय जय श्री राम
Shri Jagadishuni చేసి ధూప దీపములని వెలిగించి స్వామికి పంచభక్షణని వేద్యములని చేసి పాలించే రోచి సాయినాథుని శ్రీనివాసుని పరమేశ్వరుని సత్య సాయిని పాలించే రోచి సాయినాథుని శ్రీనివాసుని పరమేశ్వరుని సత్య సాయిని పూజింతు మన సాయిని జయ సాయిని సర్వేశ్వరుని జగదేశ్వరుని భక్తవత్సలని పాదవిగతియని భజనలు చేసి భక్తి శ్రద్ధలతో మంగళములు చేసి వారములని వెళ్ళి మంగళములు పడి జయ హరతి మంగళహారతి నిత్యాన హరతి మంగళములు పడి జయ హరతి
Listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam. As we all are gearing up to celebrate Mahashivaratri 2018, Radio Sai is happy to let you know that you can download a fresh set of Karoke Sai Bhajans, all in adoration of Lord Shiva, coming soon to you on radiosai.org. So please do download them and enrich your Akhanda Bhajan sessions.